We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and of course I'm joined by my co-host today, Sean Siegel. This is another bonus edition of the RotoViz OT podcast, talking some, I guess, non-football content. I know we've snuck some football content through over the first three of these that we've done, but it's still been kind of on the outskirts of what we normally talk about. But looking forward to today's show. Sean, we did a couple of these. The listeners give us a lot of positive feedback. It was really good to get that. But telling the truth, I probably said at this point that we recorded the three previous shows, and we've kind of been looking to get back to do another one or two here because it was so enjoyable for us to talk through some of the stuff. So looking forward to these. So thanks again to everyone who gave the positive feedback to kind of push us to realize that people might want to hear more about us, but also that we get to talk again. It's always fun.
It is. And one of the things that we're going to do is give some quotes. I enjoyed that the last time. It's always sort of fun to share, you know, language that has made, even if it's just a small impact on your life, things that are interesting from a words perspective, and then also give a few more sort of show recommendations. And Colin, I think I'll start off with one there. We had the good recommendation of Berlin Station a while back. And for anyone looking for that, I think the place that you can find it is on Epix. I've got Apple Plus right now to watch Ted Lasso. I've been kind of making my way through some of the other shows. But the funny thing is, you know, you get into HBO Max or Apple Plus or, you know, just the variety of things that you can find on Hulu or Amazon Prime, and very quickly you do get to the point where you're like, okay, well, I've sort of watched what I want. And one of the things that then you get pulled into are links to more subscriptions that add on a little bit here, a little bit there, until you're up in the $200-$400 a month range. And it starts to get a little bit silly. But I was pulled in by the Epix free trial because they also have the Shore Condor on there, which is a TV version of, and very, very different, obviously updated for the current time frame and things we're going through right now. But as a remake of the old Robert Redford movie, I think 3 Days of the Condor. And so pulled it up, watched that, had a lot of fun with it. I think that some of these spy thrillers can be, obviously they're fun, right? And so watch that. And then it's sort of started season two. So we're early on in season two there. Unfortunately, it doesn't all come out at once. But then the other sort of spy thriller that they have on Epix, which has been highly recommended and finally got a chance to watch, is the show Deep State, which, again, another spy thriller, sort of MI6, CIA working together, you know, pulling off a false flag operation, and then some of their rogue operatives trying to thwart it and obviously protect the citizens of the world. There are a lot of false flag attacks in these spy thrillers, and obviously MI6, the CIA, are not necessarily portrayed as being paragons of virtue, but obviously we have heroes who are out there fighting for the world as well, and these are a lot of fun. Well done. And so anyone who has some sort of streaming service where they can get a sort of a week free trial to Epix, they might want to do that.
Yeah, some good shows there. The one that I'm really tempted to dive into, and that you reminded me of it there when you said where it's not coming out all in one go, and that is, I don't know if you watched the original series of Dexter, Sean, but I was a big fan of the opening kind of probably 4 to 5 seasons. It kind of tailed off a bit then, but Dexter New Blood is out at the moment, and I've been actually reaching out to Scott Fish, who is also kind of along the very similar timelines of myself around the Dexter series and how it worked out and how it played out. So I've been trying to check in with him to see, is it, you know, worth diving into it. He's said he was very impressed so far, but he has said that it's a week at a time. I might want to wait to, you know, stream it. Just out of interest, Sean, when we're on the stream and kind of binge versus week by week, we obviously, for I guess the opening portion of our life, it was always just week by week. You didn't have any options. Then we got into the streaming world and you can kind of binge watch some of these shows. Which is your preferred way to watch these shows? Is it week by week? And think, I enjoy sometimes thinking through the week of what might happen and then seeing what happens at the next juncture. But sometimes when that episode ends, it's, you know, it's nice to just click to see what starts playing in the next episode.
Yeah, you want to make progress, right? You don't want to wait a week, then you lose a little bit of your momentum. I can understand why they do it that way, even in the streaming environment, right? Because you drop the entire season all at once, you get a lot of reviews, you get a lot of mention on social media, and people talk about your show for a couple days, a week, what have you, and then that tends to die down. And so, I mean, you release them once a week. If the show is good, then you continue to get those mentions kind of throughout the year, which can be, I think, very helpful as they try and build kind of the business element of this. Obviously, if we like our shows, you know, we do want them to succeed financially because that means we'll get more seasons. And so you can understand from that perspective. I like to watch it all at once. I was very excited about the new season of Dexter. And then I realized, number one, Showtime is really basically the only thing I currently don't have access to one way or another. And number two, it's going to come out weekly, like you said. So that dampened down the enthusiasm a little bit. Yeah, Dexter was absolutely fantastic. Colin, I liked it all the way until the end. And, you know, I don't.
Do you mean all the way to the very end where the ending happened, or the way towards the end of the last season?
Until like 20 minutes left, right? Where, I mean,
the end really let me down.
Deb is one of the all-time great characters, I think. I mean, in many ways, she's the star of the show. And so, I mean, not to give too much away, but for it not to work out for her, and for it not to work out for her in a way that seemed very contrived, that was a disappointment. So obviously the last 20, 30 minutes of the final episode of the original Dexter was such a disaster that it is up there on all of the lists of the worst finale of all time. I would say that it is competitive with Lost. It is competitive with Battlestar Galactica, which I always like to put up there because Battlestar was fantastic. The last couple seasons, already not nearly as good, but the last episode, again, I throw this out there from time to time. I know people aren't that interested, but the last 30 minutes of Battlestar would suggest that the people writing the show didn't understand what the show was about at all. So that's always a problem if it's your series finale. But yeah, I mean, very excited to have Dexter back. Michael C. Hall is extraordinary, and the show does a lot of interesting things and was very dynamic always from a story perspective.
Yeah, no, absolutely fantastic. I really did love it. And maybe my interpretation of it over the years since, you know, that final season, maybe that ending off the last episode is what has maybe hurt it more for me. And I might be exaggerating as to which point, but, you know, season 3, season 4, season 5, I think are some of the best seasons of TV that I've watched. But yeah, the ending really did let it down there. So So far, very positive things about the new season. But maybe, Sean, what we need to do there is wait until all the episodes are out, get yourself the week trial, and then binge watch it. So, you know, that can be another way around that. So the other show that I wanted to mention that we have mentioned time to time on the show, you did touch on Ted Lasso there. We might save that for another day because we've mentioned that a couple of times, but it was absolutely fantastic. But Afterlife with Ricky Gervais was one of my favorite shows in recent memory. Season 3 of that, the trailer dropped recently. So really excited for that to come out, those first two seasons. In terms of like emotional investment and characters, it probably was up there for me over the last kind of 2 to 3 years. I think being released in the pandemic as well is probably something that added to that and those feelings. But really excited to see season 3.
With Afterlife, the real triumph was being able to get so much funny material, and in many cases darkly funny, but you know, laugh out loud hilarious, kind of mixed in with this intense sense of mourning. And the tonal shifts very successful in the show, and to have a comedy that really is, you know, about death and getting beyond that is very difficult, and they do extremely well. Colm, I did want to ask you though, this may be one where you guys get it earlier than we do. I think maybe Afterlife gets an earlier release there. And so I'll have to check. I want to watch that as soon as it comes out, but that may be something where we have to wait for here a little bit in America.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a one-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean, this isn't a question submitted by a listener, but it was something that came up towards one of our ends of one of our recent recordings, and it was around the topic. I don't know how we got to the topic, but it was around driver's licenses, and you mentioned that you're based in Arizona, so the driver's license, I think you mentioned, doesn't have to be updated very regularly, or maybe not at all. So in Ireland, for example, when you get your driver's license, I believe it's a 10-year kind of a redo. So I've got mine a couple of times now, but you mentioned that you have long hair in that driver's license. I was wondering if there's how long has your hair been short, and how long was your hair long, and is there a backstory to long-haired Sean Siegel?
I don't know if there's a backstory, but just, you know, you want to be a different person from time to time, right? And so you've got to change it up, and you've got to go after it too. It's not like an inch or two here or there is going to make a big difference. My driver's license, Colm, expires in 2040, and so in 2040, I'm going to be a short-haired old man, and my driver's license is going to have this picture on it.
As we're listening, Sean is trying to show me the picture. Oh, that there. That's a picture that should be your Twitter profile picture if you ever do return to Twitter. Very impressive for the listeners. But that is quite, that's not just long hair. That's quite a mane that you have there.
It is. Even with the hair short.
It's, like it's all, it's getting close to Troy Polamalu.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to work to get that, to keep that thing clean. Yeah. It even now with the short hair, you know, going through with the razor, just shaving it off. I mean, it's a lot. So, something to be grateful for, right?
If you, was that part of the tennis look at the time, or
no? This is post tennis. This is post coaching tennis. It was sort of right after that, and that's probably a little bit of it. When I did decide to embark on a different direction after coaching college tennis for 5 years, you know, your life changes. It's a big change because being in charge of something that was cool, that was a lot of fun, that created a bunch of meaningful relationships that, you know, I still have, to then sort of go and be out there doing, some people would say nothing, being unemployed, right? Doing some freelance writing and that kind of thing. It's a big difference. And so I moved out to New York for a couple of years and spent that time hanging out with my brother doing some different things, got into some of the things that eventually started in with the fantasy football. And it was sort of toward the tail end of the time there in New York where the hair started to get pretty long, and then brought that back to Arizona for a few years, went with it as long as I could. And then when people were very communicative that they didn't care for it, I finally got rid of it.
That tends to happen. Somebody says something to you and all of a sudden you change your mind, but
you have too many people who are just sort of random individuals who offer to give you a haircut, and you're like, well, maybe we need to go in a different direction.
For the listeners as well, maybe some people have seen it on Twitter. I have, over the NFL season here, grown out a beard. It's something that I have not really had. I've had different facial hair at different points in my life, but never to the extent I have now. After, I think I've mentioned this maybe on, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but after the Packers got obliterated by the Saints in week one, I kind of felt bad for myself. So maybe didn't groom as much as I should have that week. And then week two, they win. Week three, they win. And then I'm like, maybe there's something linked here. So it's been growing since. So this is the longest I've ever had a beard. So we'll see how long it lasts. Maybe it'll last all the way through to the Super Bowl here when Aaron Rodgers picks up that Super Bowl MVP for the Packers. But
it's absolutely fantastic too, Colin. I mean, it looks gorgeous there. It's so much better than mine. The perfect thickness. You got a little bit of reddish hue to it. My question, though, is, I mean, it seems like it should have been cut when Aaron Rodgers went on the COVID list and admitted that he was trying to sink the team.
That's all forgotten about now. That's all in the past. We've got to, you know, we're on to Minnesota. We'll take the Belichick line. We've got the Vikings this week. But, yeah, it's amazing. Between, I haven't heard much about Ben Roethlisberger and his situation. I know we're not talking about we're not talking NFL really on this one, but there was a lot less talk around that than there was around Rodgers. But when we get to the hair situation too, Sean, this only reminded me of this when you were talking about like back when your hair was longer. But through my kind of late teenage years, I was quite often spotted with I don't know what, it might be called like peroxide, but you know, like bleach blonde. It was kind of that time of, it was a strange time in the world where, you know, men with bleach blonde tips in their hair was a kind of a popular thing when the boy bands were in it. So I had quite a few years like that, but I also tended to try different colors at a few different colors and at different times. I remember at one point having red, I had blue and at one point, and then mainly blonde, though stuck to the blonde. So we both have slightly different hair stories, but maybe that's why my hairline is receding now, is too much hair color in it as a younger person.
Yeah, it sounds like you and Kirsten Sinema are in there with the fancy outfits. So we'll hope that your approach to things is maybe a little bit more consistent. Colin, I'm distracted now. I'm thinking of you with this bright pink hair and this,
never
this
got
wonderful
pink,
beard. So
yeah,
pink, green.
Maybe you know what the end goal could be? Dyeing my beard multiple colors could be the end goal here. We'll see what happens when we get to 2022. But Sean, it kind of ties it together to one of the questions submitted by a listener. He mentioned about, and we've mentioned it already in this episode, the tennis. You've mentioned that in some of these past conversations we've had, but he thought it would be interesting if we shared maybe some of our kind of previous, I guess, work life, college experience, I guess, prior to fantasy football. So I'll go first, because I sometimes do get people ask questions about like fantasy football in general. So I still work as a full-time role, and I guess I don't know what I work in a full-time job outside of fantasy football, as well as kind of working an almost full-time job in fantasy football. So my background has been quite varied, and something that I think the listeners might find interesting is when I was young, when I was growing up, my parents owned for people in Ireland, we were called a pub or a bar. So like some people might call the local watering hole, for example, but my youth growing up until I was 17 years old, we lived above the premises where the bar was. So as a kind of teenager, I would have often worked in the family business, and even things like doing my homework while serving customers and things like that. So that was my opening part of my background prior to where I am now. But I've worked in pretty much customer service roles my entire life. After that, I've worked in betting shops, bookmakers, kind of things like that, probably similar to casinos that would be stateside. And I've also kind of just dabbled in different random customer service jobs before my current role, which I'm in for quite a bit of time. But that's kind of where I've gone. And it's interesting that pretty much all of that stuff outside of the bar stuff happened while doing fantasy football, which I started around 2013. So it's been like an interesting journey. Part of that as well, I spent time in Australia as well during all that to also keep all that going. But my background's mainly that. In terms of jobs and qualifications, what I'm actually qualified as is a personal trainer. So I would have done a lot of that after finishing school at like high school level. And then when I finished up and moved on from there, I did courses in kind of as a lifeguard, as a personal trainer, a lot of stuff like that. And my opening kind of jobs and roles were in leisure centers, managed a leisure center for a brief time and a gym. So I've kind of had a varied background that has lots of various experiences. But the one thing I would say is that all the different experiences have given me different skills that at this point have kind of led to the roles I do now, which is quite unique, I have to say.
Colin, the way that you're building this up for us, this sort of story that you pieced together here, so growing up in a public house, working in betting and gambling, being a 250-pound personal trainer, it's almost like you're hinting at this second life. I mean, this sounds straight out of a Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that I sounded like a mobster or something at one point when you were building that up at the start. But the one thing I will say is a lot of people, when I talk to them and maybe I meet them for maybe the first or maybe the 100th time, they often say, you never told me that before. So there's always like a weird story that I have at some point. So to be honest, there was some parts of that story that I had completely forgot. And as I was telling that, I remembered them. So I kind of, one thing I try to do, which I'm not very good at, is living in the moment. I'm usually looking ahead. And that also means that a lot of the time I don't look back as to what I have done. So that was a fun trip down memory lane. But Sean, yourself, obviously we know about the tennis, but is there any other intriguing elements that you want to share from the listeners?
You know, I don't necessarily think so. Nothing that can compete with growing up in a pub and working for the gambling community and whatnot. No, my background really is all in the tennis. I always kind of joke that as I was going through college, my college tennis coach, he wanted to know like what I was going to do after college. He wanted to know if I was going to open up an English shop because of the English degree. He thought that was hilarious. And so, I mean, it's kind of funny in its own way that the RotoViz, you know, you might argue is a fantasy football English shop. So, you know, we're obviously writing about the fantasy there. Yeah, the whole idea was to become a writer. And again, you could say that has kind of panned out. The sports writing mix has always sort of been there. All of the other experiences that I have are with tennis, doing some just mild tennis coaching things during college, being a grad assistant as I got my master's degree, and, you know, do some more coaching then. And then it was this question of, you know, do we teach a couple of years of high school and, you know, hopefully publish a novel or get involved in some other a type of writing, or go and coach tennis? And that ended up being a somewhat easy choice, because coaching sports is a lot of fun. You get to be there with it. You get to be there with the players. You get to learn a lot about them, a lot about yourself. One of the things that I liked about the tennis coaching is that it gives you a lot of opportunity to deploy some of these things that we talk about on RotoViz in terms of the analytics element, in terms of the strategic element, in terms of tactics, kind of melding a variety of things. The big thing that we always talk about with tennis is it's really this mental game, right? And so you learn a lot about yourself in terms of your ability to control your mind and your ability to grow. Because, I mean, there are very few people who come in and just dominate that mental area right to start with. Now, some of those people are unbelievable, because they really do have this massive edge. I had recruited a young lady in the last year that I was there who played number two for us, and she was one of the best players out of Oklahoma. And so obviously she was very dominating in our conference, in our region. And sort of in our final match, this conference championship, where we had been the underdogs for a long time, you know, when I came in, they didn't even have a full team. And then 5 years later, you know, we're taking out the heavyweights who are definitely not used to losing to us. And so we're in the conference championship and she's out there playing number two, and this little freshman. And I go and talk to her. I didn't need to talk to her that much during her matches again, because she was so experienced. She'd been a dominant junior player since she was, you know, little. I would tell some people that, you know, I had recruited somebody who, you know, was top 100 in the 12s, and they're like, 12-year-olds, that seems quite a bit different than college. And you're like, yeah, but if you could see like the top 100 in the country 12-year-olds, I mean, they could be college players now. I mean, just very, very good. Again, I mean, you've got to be able to make shots. People who have these amazing hands can make shots from when they're little. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of, you know, people like Andre Agassi and Venus and Serena playing when they were tiny. I mean, they're very good, right? And so anyway, I go up to the fence and kind of ask her how she's doing, just, you know, chat for a moment as I'm on the way to talk to players who maybe are going to need a little bit more in the way of encouragement or tactics or what have you. And, you know, she asked me about this young woman that she's playing, and I'm like, yeah, she's a senior. This is, you know, this is her last year or whatever. And she's like, oh, you know, I love taking down seniors. And she did win the match, you know, somewhat handily. And we went on, we were able to win that conference title. And that was obviously a big deal for our school and our team and all of those kinds of things. And so anyway, that journey was great. It was very hard, as I sort of mentioned earlier, to leave that and go on and do some other things. But yeah, it's been a journey of sports and writing, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. But RotoViz has been a real blessing, and it's a lot of fun to interact with people on this idea, not just of analytics, but also that there is this strategic side to fantasy that gets overlooked a lot of times.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And like I mentioned, like tying things together, it's amazing that like a lot of people probably do a lot of things throughout their life where they don't take anything from it, in terms of like they don't pick up a skill of any kind. Like I've had jobs where I really disliked them and did not want to be there anymore, but at the same time there was a lot of things that you learn along the way that you take forward. And you even mentioned like the mental side of tennis. There's a lot of like, there's life's a mental game at the same time of like taking those tough times, make it like, again, like I said, I should be better at this, appreciate, and then when times maybe aren't as tough when you're moving forward. But that kind of felt like it brought us up, Sean, to pretty close to maybe a Zero RB origin story. And that's a question that has been sent in. So we are going to end today's episode there. And that may be an episode that needs a full episode of its own. The other thing we mentioned on today's show is my background in a pub, we may have to talk about some Irish pub drinks in the next episode. So we will do another one of these very, very shortly. Hopefully you are enjoying them. This is the fourth one, I believe. If you haven't heard them, they are up on the Road of His Overtime feed. They are usually, these ones have come out on Sundays, but hopefully you will enjoy them. Have a listen. As always, drop us a written review in your favorite podcast app. We appreciate that greatly. And of course, if you want to sign up for an NFL pass on rotoviz.com, you can save yourself 10% as a loyal podcast listener. Use the code RVRadio2021 at checkout or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. And that is going to bring it to an end of this special edition of Rotoviz Overtime. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. You can check out Sean's great work up on rotoviz.com. If you have listened to this point, I probably should have mentioned this a minute or two ago, but if you have any questions for future editions of shows like this, send them my way as well. We'll try and use some of the best on some upcoming podcasts. And until we're back with another show, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.